Hello, everybody. This is the Script Cabinet, or Kaylee, as I'm about to say, that I was thinking about starting this series called Kaylee Storytime, in which I essentially share a bunch of different stories with you guys, because there are times in my life in which I feel like my life is a fucking sitcom. I am not gonna lie. And my main reason for introducing this idea of content is because there are times in which I am finally able to record after finally getting a job, but I come home and I am just so exhausted that I don't feel like doing anything at all. And I don't want to stop this. I want to keep going, but I need to find a way to keep producing content that is entertainable, but something that I can do when I'm not particularly in the mood at that particular night. So, I've came up with Kaylee Storytimes. And since this is the first episode, I am going to be talking about how this channel actually got started, which a couple of you have showed interest in. And I'm not gonna lie, it's kind of a sad story. I will be talking about depression and suicide and self-harm and eating disorders. So just if you're not into that, probably skip ahead a bit because I really don't want to disappoint anybody. So this serves as a little trigger warning and on to the story. But if you have any suggestions for other topics that you'd like me to talk about, such as I've thought of like how I lost my V card, or theater mishaps, or maybe college roommate horror stories, or even retail horror stories. Anything of that sort. If you have any of those types, or actually any questions, because I may do an FAQ at some point in the future, please leave them in the comments, whether you're on YouTube or Reddit. I would very much appreciate it. Now, on to the story. Okay, so I started my channel on November 4th, 2019, specifically my YouTube channel, and I had thought about trying some kind of voice acting within that time, just because a lot of my other theater friends were doing it, and I was in college at the time. I was in my last semester, and I was studying theater, and the thing was that I wanted to do my own thing, in which I would write my work, I'd write my plays, and I had to come up with some way that I could publish them in a way. I can put them out into the masses, but not need anybody or like anything special to really do anything with it. Because I kept feeling like my writing was just sitting there on the shelf in my own handwriting or on my computer, and they were just sitting files. Like, I had to come up with some way to express my creativity, and I started my channel in hopes of maybe entertaining people. And I'm very glad that I have enough subscribers to say that I have succeeded in that, both on Reddit and on YouTube. But so that's one side of the story. But how this actually snowballed into creating the Script Cabinet was how should I explain this? I got fired from my dream job. and yes, on October 10th, 2019, I got fired from what was essentially my dream job. And, well, then again, I have to preface this basis because I feel like if I place you guys in a better view of what I was dealing with within that last semester, I feel like it would be better. So that semester, it was my last semester in college, I was tackling 15 credits. So I had 5 classes and I was involved in a bunch of extracurriculars, like a writing association. I was a member. I was the costume designer for one of the shows, like the main stage show at my school. And I was, now this is where it comes in, I was the director of one of my favorite shows. I put in a proposal in the previous year and I got approved, and I was so happy because being a director is like the highest rank that you could possibly think of when it comes to theater. Unless you're thinking of like producer, something like that. I couldn't think of any other like position in which I had like the highest rank. I could get the highest rank as a student. So I was incredibly proud of it. And this was my first job as a leader. And so honestly, even though it wasn't completely my dream job, I still say it was my dream job because in the moment, that was the one position where I felt like I would finally earn everybody's respect and how I could prove myself and to others that I could be a leader and that I can give orders instead of take them and give criticism rather than take it and keep getting shit on all the time because, oh my god, a lot of shitty things happened to me in college, okay? I'm not going to tell you which university I went to, but I really wish I could just so I can tell you not to go there because the shit that happened to me in that theater department, I would wish on nobody because I kept feeling like, well, you know, in the theater world, favoritism is everywhere. You can't escape it. And even though everybody denies it, favoritism happens and it's obvious. And I was obviously not one of their favorites. And so when I finally was accepted for that opportunity, I was so ecstatic. I was so excited. And I went through the whole process. And at the beginning, everything was quite well. In August and September, I cast the show. I did a whole bunch of planning and everything was going great. Though I did have a supervisor, but things started to feel a little off, as if my supervisor kept testing me or he kept pushing me back. Like, all right, so he would tell me to do something and I would do it in the way that it had always been done, like at the school, you know, such as coming up with a schedule and coming up with like a director's plan or like a bunch of other different things. So like, I don't really want to dive too deep into it because I'm afraid that my audience isn't a lot of theater people and I'm going to use a bunch of jargon and no one's going to know. But anyway, I would do stuff that he asked me to do. And then I would come back and he would say everything is wrong and I have to do it all over again. And we would meet once a week. And you know, now that I think about it, this sounds like I'm complaining, but there's a reason for that. Just hear me out, all right? So I would do stuff and he kept telling me that I'm doing it wrong. And then I would have to push everything back another week, which if you're in theater, that's fucked up because like, okay, he kept trying to convince me that 6 weeks of rehearsal was plenty of time, which no, it's not. We have schoolwork. We have other shows that we're in. Like we're all in the same classes and yet you're piling on so much work for me. And I legitimately asked him, like, are you testing me? Because, like, I know that this isn't going to work out and I'm trying to save my show, okay? And so, obviously, he took it as disrespect. That's one thing. It could have been the way that I said it, but I don't know. I was just trying very, very hard to get what I needed to make the show perfect because it was my show. My name was going to be on it. I wanted to be great and amazing, and I really wish that it did, but more shit kept happening, such as he kept insisting that I would keep doing analysis days in which we would just talk about the script and like character analysis or like what's the motive behind this action or shit like that or like themes. Like, usually, or at least in my experience, we only last for like we only do that for like 2, maybe 3 days at most. Like, you don't need fucking 2 weeks of analysis. Like, come on. And like, I don't know if he was like trying to like teach me something, but I mean, as a senior, I knew that this was like all bullcrap. He kept like treating me like I was kindergarten, to be honest. So I spoke my mind about it. I just told him straight out, like, I cannot have you doing this to me because everything is being pushed back and it's not all my fault. And you know, thinking back on it, I feel like he was exhibiting a lot of frustrations towards me in other ways too, because, well, my supervisor was a professor and he was teaching a stage combat class that I was in. He would kind of belittle me, not gonna lie. We would meet once a week, and they were teaching us rapier and dagger and knife. And every week he would remind everybody that I was the newbie. I mean, like, me and two other people were new to stage combat. The other people had experience before. But I feel like as a teacher, you don't need to tell everybody that. So every week he would throw it out like it was nothing, like, oh, well, because Kaylee doesn't have any experience, you're going to have to go soft on her or something like that. And I'm like, come on. And I would do stuff like I'd make a face, or I would like actually tell him like, hey, could we move on, please? Like, I was just so sick of being treated like shit. So, yeah, that's the context. I'm going through so much shit. I'm fighting for my show. And that's like very brief, the way I'm describing it. Like, I don't really want to dive too deep into like the other shit that was happening, but October hits. And finally, we get a blocking day. And if you don't know what blocking is in theater, it means that you finally get to get on your feet. You have your script in hand, and everybody is learning where to go and where to move. Now, I had planned some sections, and other times I wanted it to come naturally. So I was experimenting with my directorial skills, as I wanted to. Now, my supervisor wasn't there that day. Instead, he got somebody else to supervise me, who was another student who had been out of the picture at this point. Now, I could already tell that something was up because she was very quiet, but I don't know whether to blame one particular person or multiple people, because I don't really know. But, okay, I should say right now, there were sexual acts that were suggested to be performed in the script. And I'm not going to say the show, because the title of the show has become such a trigger word to me that, like, I instantly want to shove my head into the nearest wall, and I'm not even kidding. It has been, what? Okay. November, December, January, February, March, April, May. It's been 6 months, and I'm still sad about it, but I am a little bit better now. But anyway, we get a day for blocking, and the first sexual encounter comes up in the script, and I thought that everybody was on the same page. I thought everybody felt comfortable, and I wanted to ensure that everybody felt like they could come and approach me and talk to me if they weren't comfortable, because as the director, I am responsible for that. And because there is sexual acts, if somebody says, hey, I'm not comfortable with this, I would have changed it. I would have changed it, because that's what a good director does. But, so anyway, I directed the scene. I thought everybody was fine. And then the next day we were supposed to have rehearsal that night. And then I get an email from my supervisor saying that rehearsal will not be happening tonight. And I'm like, what the fuck is happening? And then I get another email that says, are you available to meet on October 10th at about 12:30? And I had a 1 o'clock class, I believe, that day. So I was like, yeah, we can like meet up as long as it's real quick. And they're like, oh yeah, it'll be like really fast. And I should have known at the time that something bad was happening, because that following day, I tried to ask around and ask people, like, why are we not rehearsing tonight? And nobody was giving me an answer. Now, there were people that were, like, the assistants to my supervisor. They were called, like, technical liaisons or whatever. You know, that's another thing. I think our theater department just made up the names just so people could feel important, because there was no reason to have them, to be honest. But anyway, I go to them and I'm like, why the fuck is this happening? Why does he keep pushing me back? Like, we should be rehearsing. Why is he canceling things without my permission? And, of course, they took it the wrong way, because it got mentioned in the meeting, of course. And I was just so tired and so frustrated. And now that I look back on it, it really wasn't good for me anyway. It wasn't good for my health to begin with, like both physically and mentally. So anyway, October 10th, 2019, I go into the meeting and there are the other theater professors, like all the theater professors, including the head of the department, another professor, and then my supervisor, who, of course, I just mentioned was a professor. So I sit, and then they all sit across from me. So I remember saying, oh, this makes me feel bad, like you're sitting across from me. And one of them goes, oh, you have nothing to worry about. Okay. Everything's fine. Everything's fine. I can say this. So to put it as blankly as possible, they brought out a list. There was a list of all these accusations that were being made against me. And of course there was disrespect going on, but like that wasn't just me. There were other people too, because everybody was getting frustrated, but of course it was on me because I'm the director. There was like something about unprofessionalism, which of course got blamed on me because I'm the director. I'm supposed to control everybody or some shit. And then they just threw in this one, like, student code of conduct thing, which I later found out that they just add that in for fun. They just added that in to scare me because everybody uses that. So I really wish I would have known the actual definition of that code and at the moment. But anyway, the biggest thing out of them all, and the main reason I got fired, was because I got accused of sexual harassment. That fucking hurts. It fucking hurts, I'm not gonna lie. And in my eyes, it is not true. I did not mean to offend anybody within that time, blocking that scene. I thought that I handled everything respectfully. I thought everybody was on the same page and knew that they had the right to say something and to talk to me. But apparently not. And so, as a result, my professors gave me two options, which were very shitty options. The first one was to quit, and the second one was to get fired. I said that I'm not a quitter. And then they said, okay, well, as the head of the department, it is within my best interest, because we have lost trust in you, you have lost trust in the faculty, that I remove you from the position as director. And that really hurt me, because I had been at that university for 5 years. I had been pushed to the sidelines, basically treated like a second-hand citizen all the time, when other people get everything handed to them, and then I get my ass beat all the fucking time, and I work so hard to gain that position, only for it to be slipped away because somebody said that I did a really bad thing. And it fucking hurts. I remember in that meeting, I said, okay, well, with all due respect, you're going to have a very hard time to find someone to replace me because nobody knows the show. It was very hard for me to get people to audition in the first place, thanks to you guys, because, of course, you made me post the audition late because he thought I worded everything wrong when I'm a fucking writer. But of course I didn't say that, but I just said you're gonna have a very hard time finding someone to replace me. And then they said, oh, you don't have to worry about that anymore, Kaylee. And so I left, and I had like 10 minutes until my next class began, and I just remember going upstairs to like one of the like the music practice rooms and crying. And I cried and I cried. And if you know me, you know that I don't cry. And if you know me even longer, you know that I would never call my dad crying. And I did. I called my dad crying, and you know, that's just something that you don't do, because my family really belittles sadness and depression. And honestly, I felt like I didn't have the right to be sad. And in fact, I still don't feel like I have the right to, because that was a bad thing that happened to me. And I grieved so hard. And for months on end, I would just keep, I would like get these memories, and I would be reminded that that happened to me. And I was still in shock that something like that killed me. So I did end up going to class with a very red face, but I kept it up. And this is when the depression comes in. So that night, oh yeah, that's another thing. I got an email after the meeting saying, Kaylee, just so we're clear, you're not going to any more rehearsals. You're not going to the meeting tonight, because we're going to like tell people. And it's like, really, you had to push me even further, right? I'm not stupid, you know. The clock was running down, and I scheduled rehearsal around 8 o'clock. So 8 o'clock hit, and everybody was there, and I was in my dorm just thinking, oh my god, like, they're gonna know now. They're gonna know. I have no idea what they're saying. And then I get texts from my friends, and well, because the supervisors told everybody not to talk about it, this is when the real shit began. Because the following days, I lost friends. People were scared to talk to me, and my worst nightmare came true. Because, well, as a kid, I was bullied a lot, like a lot, in which I was so afraid of losing people, and I was so afraid of losing friends. Like, I'm still to this day, I'm always afraid that I'm going to say the wrong thing, and then no one will talk to me ever again. I'm terrified of that, because it actually happened. Because, well, I don't know if anybody would believe this, but throughout the entire 7th grade, I didn't have one friend. And I mean that, I had no friends in 7th grade. And in 8th grade, I was better. In 8th grade, I finally found friends, but I was so terrified, and my nightmare came to life. And then people would ignore me. People would be afraid to talk to me. Like, I would walk down the hall, and then people that were in the show or people that were designers would walk by me, and they would avert their gaze away from me. And I'm sure right now they were just covering their own asses back then. But I don't think anybody stopped to think what was happening to me. And then it only got worse, because rumors started happening. Like, I overheard that someone said that I was being racist or I was being homophobic, and that's why I got fired. Which, no, because, okay, well, for one thing, I have a lot of friends that are of color. I can't be racist. I am not homophobic. I'm fucking bi, and I have a lot of friends that are gay, and I'm like, how the fuck does this happen? Like, what are we, 12? Like, these rumors were being spread, and I mean, luckily, a lot of my friends did defend me when that was happening, but because my supervisors ordered everybody not to talk about it, that just made the situation worse, because I literally had no one to go to. The only people that I could really talk about was, like, my counselor, and my counselor was shit in college, not gonna lie. That's like a whole different video, or like an audio, but I actually did talk to the person that was like the second below the president, because I was traumatized, and I wanted them to know that the department was full of shit, and nothing happened, of course, but there's like more layers to it, because actually in the previous year, the head of the theater department got fired because of sexual harassment and assault. And then I just kept thinking, how could they look at me like the way that they look at them? Like, I just couldn't believe it, and I didn't fucking deserve it. It gets even worse because, well, I mean, I don't like to use my Asperger's syndrome as an excuse, but it is sort of a reason behind my actions and behind how I react in certain situations. But none of that was taken into account. And you know what was really weird was that even my supervisor didn't want me to apologize to anybody, but I sent out an email to everybody. I apologized to everybody one by one, and I still couldn't get any closure. And then, I love how I keep saying, oh, it gets worse, because it fucking does. But I got replaced by an alumni. To be honest, nobody really liked that alumni. And now, just imagine a show going from someone who knows their shit, aka me, to someone that doesn't know their shit and just starts making shit up. And then suddenly she gets all the credit for having the show. And I'm just so fucking disappointed. And she kept getting all the credit because she's an alumni and she came back. So she got all the credit. And then I'm just on the sidelines. And by the way, I designed the artwork for the show. And that's all I got credit for? I didn't get credit for, like, technically producing, because I was the one that submitted a proposal for it, and it got approved, but of course no one gives a shit about that. And actually, I remember trash diving for the programs because I just wanted to see if I was credited, and then I was, and it just makes me so angry. As you can imagine, following that, I got into a very deep, deep, deep depressive rabbit hole. I can honestly say there wasn't a single day in which I didn't feel like not harming myself. I kept wanting to punch things. I kept wanting to shove my head into a wall or like through glass, or I wanted to throw things all around my room, and I wanted to punch into pillows and scream, and I cried in the shower a lot, and I've done a lot of stupid things when depressed, actually, like adding to cart, and I don't know, a lot of drunk online shopping, but that's like a whole nother audio that I could possibly do, haha. But I kind of dove back into my anorexic tendencies. I did lose a lot of weight because I denied myself food, because I didn't feel like I deserved it, because I felt like a piece of shit. And if we really want to get personal, I once tried to drown myself in a shower. And the only reason I stopped was because my lungs hurt, like, really bad. And that was, yeah, getting fired. That was the first time in which I actually considered an actual attempt at suicide. Like, I always, like, thought of it, but I never, like, thought that I would actually harm myself, but I did. There was this one person that I came to for comfort, and she was a teaching student, and I remember her very distinctly saying, well, you have to think, you are a woman. And because you are a woman, I believe that you would have had a better chance of getting off scot-free. So obviously they had to punish you more. And coming from a teacher's perspective, you deserved it. I think about that a lot. But now thinking back on it, maybe she was right. Maybe she was wrong. But either way, I'm somewhere better. Now it comes full circle, because I was seeking some form of comfort, and somehow I discovered like comfort ASMR like role plays. And that's how I discovered Nahuro's Thanks first. Yeah. I discovered Nahuro's Thanks. Had a fun time. I really liked his voice. And then I found his collabs with Cardlin Audio. And then Cardlin Audio became my favorite because he has a bunch of comfort audios and that really helped me within the time. And so the more I thought about it, the more I'm like, you know, I really need to find some kind of creative outlet. I need to find a way to get myself out of my depression, in which I did go to the doctors and I got diagnosed with situational depression. And I started to feel a little bit better knowing that I actually had something and that I wasn't crazy and that I was actually allowed to be sad because this is a pivotal moment. And, well, you know when, like, a traumatic event happens and then you start, it kind of splits your life in two and you start to view yourself as before the event and after the event? Well, right now it is after the event and I have a job now. I'm actually getting paid a lot more than I did. So everything is working out in the end, even though I can't use anybody as a reference. I never want to set foot on that school property again. I feel scarred. I get triggered sometimes. I get pops of bad memories that suddenly come out of nowhere. But hey, it's still on my resume because I still did it for like 3 months and they can't take that away from me. And so in November, I finally decided on a name. Well, in the theater department, I kept thinking, I have a lot of scripts, but I don't know what to do with them. I write a lot of scripts and I don't really know. But in the theater department, we would keep all of our scripts in what was called the script cabinet. And bada bing, bada boom, that's how I got my username. And thus, my channel began. And so thank you very much if you have listened this far ahead. I hope it wasn't too depressing, but I just wanted to be real with you guys on how my channel actually started. So, we all need help. Everybody's suffering. It's definitely okay to cry because that's our body's natural way of releasing everything. And we all need help. Therefore, it is okay to seek help. And I also discovered an app called Calm Harm, which I'm not sponsored, by the way, but Calm Harm reminded me, and it gives you a lot of activities to either distract yourself or to give you comfort or to do something that makes you feel good or it help, like guided breathing, stuff like that. But it's an app that teaches you that sadness comes in waves and you have to ride the wave to let it pass, but in the end, better days will come. And also, I couldn't afford therapy, so I just really hope that everybody knows that there are other resources out there for you to get better. And I really appreciate you for listening to my story. And thank you for following this channel. And if you've survived as well, I'm happy that you're still here. Because I am serious. It does get better. It just takes some time. And you won't regret it. I promise you.